We're going to talk about competition between two phytoceids that live in apple trees and whether this interferes with biological control. And I'm going to start off with the take-home messages to kind of give you an overview of the talk at the same time. Neosiulus phalacis is a sort of specialist predator of spider mites and is a very effective natural enemy. But unfortunately, in our part of Canada and Nova Scotia, there's very low numbers of them in the tree canopy. And I believe one of the major reasons for this is the presence of the generalist phytoceid Typhlodromus pyri. Typhlodromus pyri is a less effective enemy of spider mites, partly because it has a limited numerical response to prey density, and partly because it does not aggregate on prey patches in the tree canopy. This means that very slight perturbations, such as an increased rate of immigration of T. urticae from the ground cover, can cause a breakdown in biological control. There's a couple of remedies for this. I believe the first is to take steps to reduce the rate of immigration of T. urticae from the ground cover into the tree. And of course, the more obvious one is to adopt a modified spray program where you can to conserve both predators in the system. Now, we became aware of the situation of shortage of N. phalacis in two studies. The first one was done intensively just in three orchards where T. pyri had been released several years previously. And what we did is we monitored mites on sticky bands attached to the tree trunks to look at migration, and of course the mites in the tree canopy. We found that N. phalacis was a small minority of the phytoceids in the tree. And the solid blue bars indicate the proportion of phytoceids that were T. pyri. The graph on the left for 2002 indicates that about 95% or more of the mites were T. pyri in the canopy, very small number of N. phalacis. The only exception occurred in the following year when the grower had applied pyrethroids in the orchard, and in that scenario there were large numbers of two-spotted spider mites in the tree canopy, and T. pyri was at very low numbers. In that situation, N. phalacis were 50% of the phytoceids, but there weren't very many of them. It was a little bit different on the sticky bands on the tree trunk. There was greater parity between the two predators. In the first year, the graph on the left, 2002, the red bars indicate that there were 7,000 to 9,000 T. urticae sampled through the season from May to October. And in that situation, N. phalacis varied from 30 to 50% of the phytoceids caught on the sticky bands. Quite a different situation then from the tree canopy. The following year, N. phalacis disappeared. There were none found on the sticky bands in two of the orchards, and in that year there were very few T. urticae, only several hundred sampled through the growing season. Of course, T. urticae is a favored prey of N. phalacis, and there's a strong dependence of one upon the other. In the third orchard, where the grower had applied pyrethroids, all of the very few phytoceids were N. phalacis caught in the sticky bands. We also did a more extensive survey in those 2 years, looking at mites in 12 orchards, and we found that the solid blue bar indicates that nearly all of the phytoceids were T. pyri in both years, at least, I think it was 97%. They were found in all 12 orchard blocks. N. phalacis, a small number, were found in one block in 2002, and two of them in 2003. Now, there's a number of reasons why N. phalacis may not be common in trees. The first and most obvious, of course, is application of toxic pesticides. That's a no-brainer. The other thing is they have a requirement for a minimum number of prey to allow them to colonize the tree. And Johnson and Croft suggested this was one tetranychid or 15 apple rust mites per leaf. Another issue is low winter survival on the tree. A study in New York found this out, and so therefore colonization of the tree the following season is very likely from mites that overwintered on the ground. Now, if there's very few T. urtici on the ground, too few of them, they're extremely sparse, you're going to get very few N. pilosus colonizing the trees. This was found out in Illinois. And another issue is when you have a cold winter followed by very little snow cover. A study in Quebec, they found that there were very few N. pilosus following these kinds of winters. Another issue is application of inappropriate herbicides. The worst scenario is when they're more toxic to the predator than to T. urtici. And finally, of course, the influence of T. pyrrhi, which is the theme of this talk. So how does T. pyrrhi influence N. pilosus? Well, because this generalist can survive and reproduce on a diet of pollen, it is able to knock down the prey populations to extremely low levels, too few to sustain N. pilosus. So I believe the bigger effect is competition for food resources between the two predators. There is something of an issue with intra-guild predation. About the only advantage that T. pyrrhi has over pilosus is that it gains more benefit from feeding on other phytoceids than does N. pilosus. And it's more inclined to do so, being a generalist. Now, are there cases where T. pyrrhi has displaced other more specialized phytoceids? In Oregon, they placed T. pyrrhi and Metasiulus occidentalis on potted apple trees, and they found that within 1 year, occidentalis had virtually disappeared. They attributed this to competition and also to considerable intra-guild predation, which was validated in lab trials. In New York, they did a survey in 23 orchards where phytoceids were found, and the two predators, N. pilosus and T. pyrrhi, coexisted in only 4 of those 23 orchards. Another study was done in Ontario, indoors with potted apple trees, where equal numbers of T. pyrrhi and N. pilosus were placed on trees heavily infested with the European red mite. Same numbers of predators at the start, but 5 weeks later, only 5% of the phytoceids were N. pilosus. Now, unfortunately, this has its consequences. T. pyrrhi has a number of weaknesses as a natural enemy of T. urtici. The first reason is that very few T. pyrrhi occur in the ground cover. This means that they don't suppress T. urtici populations in that habitat. Secondly, they have a very modest numerical response to prey density. This is partly because they take a long time to pass from egg to adult. They're slow developers. And secondly, they have a limited, they produce a very limited number of eggs compared to other phytoceids. And equally important, they do not aggregate where tetranychid prey occur on the tree. This was demonstrated when Panonychus ulmi was the prey by Jan Nyroff in New York, and we found the same thing recently in our orchards where T. urtici was the prey. So the predator and the prey are distributed more or less randomly in relation to each other among the leaves. This means that when densities of both are low, there is very little encounter between predators and prey. There's very little overlap. Hence, in the early season, T. urtici has the opportunity to multiply virtually unchecked by this predator. And the consequence is that later in the season, even modest rates of immigration or perhaps warmer weather conditions will destabilize the system, allowing the T. urtici to increase and get out of control. I think there's two major remedies to this situation. The first is to manipulate the ground cover so as to reduce immigration of T. urtici into the trees. We've done a lot of research in the last few years on narrower herbicide strips and found that was indeed highly effective in reducing immigration and T. urtici in the tree canopy, where T. pyrrhi was the predator. In Switzerland, they found that they had the fewest spider mites going up the tree when they had continuous ground cover under the tree. That had to be grasses. The problem is, of course, you've got to have the right grasses because they compete with the tree for nutrients and water. Another approach is to use the appropriate herbicides. People have had good success when they've used glufosinate instead of glyphosate, for instance, as an application in the tree row in the herbicide strip. And Croft has advocated having shelter belts around the orchard which serve as banker plants for enphalasis. Conifers have their own spider mites. If you have conifers around the orchard, you're going to have a supply of enphalasis which can blow into the orchard. And finally, a no-brainer, adopt the modified spray program to conserve the predators. And I would emphasize the acaricide issue because we found that a certain acaricide aggravated the situation in our orchards and really promoted spider mites in the long term. Thank you.